Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Christmas midnight comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the name of Jesus, do not fear. That's what the angel tells Joseph as he was contemplating whether or not he should divorce his wife. By now, the news had reached him that Mary was pregnant. That's why he's thinking about divorce. But we're not really all that sure how the news did reach him. Did Mary tell him herself? I would like to think so. I would like to think that she told him exactly like she told Elizabeth from her gospel reading on Sunday. But if she did, then why did he not believe her, like Elizabeth did, and unborn baby John did? I'm not sure. Maybe it's because that story about the angel was too hard to believe. And certainly Joseph must have thought that Mary was just a scared little girl trying to make up for and get out of her mistakes. Joseph was a just man. And justice certainly meant that he couldn't stay in that marriage. This child was not his own, and so it belonged to another. Justice would have whomever knocked Mary up to take her under his own house and raise up his own child. So let justice be done, Joseph concluded. Divorce is the only way. But Joseph was also an honorable man. He was unwilling to put her to shame. He wasn't going to go public with this. Causing a big scene never makes the situation any better. And so he's going to go about this quietly. And surely he thought that she would end up with that other guy and he would be all left alone. And in so doing, he would really be the one carrying the shame. And everyone in town would know what had happened, and sideways glances and whispers behind closed doors would follow him all the days of his life. But he wasn't going to let shame come upon this woman that he loved. He wasn't going to let a rock be thrown at her head for her apparent infidelity. In that way, husbands, all husbands, could and should take a page out of Joseph's book and learn how we should go about being good and proper and godly husbands. I, for one, certainly know that I should. But then one night, when Joseph had finally fallen asleep amidst all the things rattling around in his brain, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. And it's a simple thing that the angel says to him. Not a long and elaborate tale trying to convince him why he shouldn't divorce his wife, but instead it's just a simple statement of fact and a gospel word of do not fear. And on a very personal note, that message of do not fear meant that everything that Joseph thought he knew was true wasn't. Mary had not been unfaithful to him. There wasn't another man. And although this child was not his own, he didn't belong to some other guy in town. And so that was a miracle in and of itself. But was even more a miracle was that this child was from God. And I know, every single child is certainly a gift from God, but this one, this little baby in the belly of his betrothed, was conceived from the Holy Spirit. This little baby is God in the flesh, and so no, Joseph doesn't have to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And he doesn't have to be afraid to welcome this baby into his own home either. It's his very own son. An adopted son is no less a son than a biological one. And God had chosen him to be the protector of his son in the flesh. Surely the extent to what this meant not fully dawned on Joseph, not quite yet, but the time would come. He would have to whisk his family away to Egypt in order to protect them from a mad king who had gone even madder and would try and protect his own crown by murdering every baby boy in Bethlehem. But this baby had no intent to steal Herod's crown. He was already a king of the whole universe, and the only crown that he ever looked forward to putting on was one made with thorns. Which brings us to the other part of that angel's message. Mary is going to bear a son, and Joseph, as his earthly father, is going to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And perhaps this is the more important reason why Joseph doesn't have to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. The Savior has come into this world and is at this very moment sitting in her belly, and he's going to need a father to protect him and take care of him until he can protect and take care of and save his earthly father and every other person in the history of the world. I can't even fathom what goes through a man's brain when he knows that his own child is his Savior. Whatever delight and fear and joy and worry and happiness and fright that any other first-time fathers ever felt, surely Joseph felt it all the more. And yet the promises of the Lord, the one that we hear later on written down in the epistle of Paul in Romans, is that God works good through all things. This is not going to be an easy life for Joseph, his young bride, and certainly this baby boy of his. Desperate flights for safety await them all. Continued snickers and whispers are still going to follow him because the majority of society will still think that Mary had run around. His family and his friends will never be able to treat him the same way, thinking him foolish for allowing this woman to force him to raise up a kid that's not his. But the promise of the angel is that he does not have to be afraid about these things when they come, and they will. Because God is working good through this birth and through this marriage. And so we fast forward a couple thousand years and we find ourselves sitting here on a dark Christmas midnight, remembering the birth of our Savior and hearing that salvation has come to us in the person of Christ. And we should probably give thanks to our Lord above for Joseph, for the man that he was, for being the husband of Mary and the earthly father of Jesus. For this was all by design and all the workings of our God, so that God could work good in and through all things, in and through that baby in Mary's belly, to save his people from their sins. But more importantly, we should take heart at the words that the angel says to Joseph, because he says the same thing to you tonight. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of all the things that are wrong in your life. Do not be afraid of the sin that you've committed, believing that it will hang upon you on the day that you die. Do not be afraid of thinking your heavenly Father sees you as a poor, miserable sinner that you are. Do not be afraid that death is going to be the end of you, or that the death of those whom you love, who have fallen asleep in the Lord, means that you'll never see them again. God knew that all these things weigh heavy upon you. God knew that the fallenness of this world was going to wreak havoc on his creation. God knew that the death that came through sin was never part of his plan. And God knew Satan would continue to whisper into your ears, maybe even sometimes shout all of his accusations at you. But God also knew that all of these things had to be dealt with, and he was not willing to let his people deal with them on their own. And so he sent his son in the womb of Mary. And he had Joseph call his son Jesus because he was going to save you from your sins. That's what the name of Jesus actually means. God, Yahweh, is salvation. And he is. All of the sins that you've committed are forgiven in Christ. He took them. He made them his own. That's what it means to be a Savior. And so that sin of being a less than ideal husband or wife, that sin is bought and paid for in Christ. That sin of being a terrified father or mother, that sin has the blood of God covering it. That sin of doubt, and the sin of shame, and the sin of hatred, and laziness, and apathy, and anger, and unbelief, and not calling on the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, that and every other sin that you've ever committed, you've been saved from, because God has come to his own in the person of Christ. He has saved you from all of those sins, and he saved you from Satan, and he saved you from death. Nothing can change that. Christ has already done it all on the cross and with that empty tomb. It's all done. It's all done for you. And so when you go home this evening and you lay your head on your pillow this Christmas, comfort yourself with the gospely words of the angel. Do not be afraid. Jesus has saved you from your sins. In the name of Jesus.